Passage of scripture this morning will be coming from Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. Again, that's Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. And I will be reading from the King James Version. And the Bible reads, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Again, I have read for you Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. May God continue to bless those who hear his word, but especially those who do.
Good morning, everyone. Before I jump into any lesson, I always like to give thanks unto God for the opportunity and the ability to stand before you and proclaim his word. And I also want to give thanks for the congregation, the leadership here at the 9th and Main Church of Christ. I do appreciate you trusting me and trusting me to share God's word, to not give, not add, nor to take away. And so that being said, let's jump into the lesson. Oh, quick note, before I jump into the lesson, last Wednesday, Not the Wednesday that passed, the Wednesday before last, I taught the Bible class on instrumental music, and I made the statement that Hebrew and Greek are dead languages. While Hebrew may be, Greek is not. I said that the Greek was not ongoing, but it's that the Bible is written in ancient Greek, in the New Testament. And I'm thankful one of my sisters pulled me to the side and taught me the way of the Lord more perfectly. And so I appreciate her for doing so, and I wanted to make sure I clarify that. The Bible being written in ancient Greek, ancient meaning it doesn't continue to change, but Greek itself is still a ongoing language today. It would be the equivalent of us, we speak English, but we don't speak the old King James English. Now that being said, that brings me to my topic today of should I look into the hills? Now when we read the 121st division of Psalms. This is a very familiar Psalms. And if you're like me, you're probably a KJV Bible thumper. That's me. I grew up King James Version, and I love the King James. It's my preferred version over all of them. Call me old school, call it what you like, but I'm a big fan of the King James. I actually wish I could talk like that, but my wife won't allow it. I would love to say, come hither and bring me that sandwich, but she would never allow me to do that. But I just love the poetic way it speaks and it reads. But if you have a copy of God's Word and you're reading Psalms 121, it was read until you're hearing from the King James Version. And in the King James Version, verse 1 ends in a period. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Period. Now, if you're reading this from any other translation besides the King James Version, the Jubilee Bible, the Orthodox Jewish Bible, the BRG, Blue, Red, and Gold Letter Bible, or the DRA, and if you're reading this translation in any other version, or you're reading this scripture in any other translation, it ends in a question mark. So if you have the New King James, some of yours may end the first verse with a question mark. And so that always made me ponder. It made me wonder, is David telling me that I should be looking into the hills, or is he asking a question? And so this morning, I want to deal with that topic and answer that question. Number one, we want to establish, is David making a statement, or is he asking a question? Number two, should I look to the hills, and where does my help come from? Now, I want to bring out 3 points on some things people may look to the hills for. Number one, you have safety. Number two, you have status. And number three, you have salvation. Now, I tried to keep them all S's as far as alliteration goes. And so that's to help me to remember my points. So some people depend on the hills for safety, for status, and for salvation. So let's establish something. When we're trying to answer a question, a Bible question, we need Bible to answer that question. The question I want to ask is, who is writing? And of course, this is David. This is a psalm by David. But as I'm reading it, I don't think this is King David. I believe this isn't even Giant Slayer David. I believe this is Shepherd Boy David. And David, being a keeper of the sheep, he'd be familiar with hills. Because during that time, in the biblical time, shepherds were known for taking the sheep and feeding them in the hill lands. In fact, you can still see that today. Just a quick tour or visit of Israel, and you can see shepherds on the hillside feeding their sheep. So David would be familiar with hills. But I also want to use a Bible event recorded in the book of 1 Samuel 23. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, we see that David is on the run. Just to do a bit of a catch up, this is after David has slain Goliath. And now people are going around giving David his praises, saying Saul has killed his thousands, but David, his 10,000s. Now, when Saul hears this, he became envious. He became jealous and sought to take the life of David. I just can't see how someone who's a fellow worshiper of the same God, or let's say someone who's a member of the body, just as you are, you find out they get a promotion or you find out they've done something good. And instead of being able to rejoice with them, you want to kill them because they're getting more praise than you are. And so Saul is now trying to take the life of David, and David is on the run. He's running, and because the Bible says in 1 Samuel 23, and I want to begin at verse number 14. In verse number 14, the Bible says, "And David abode in the wilderness, in the strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him, not just every other week, every day. But God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood." So David is now running, trying to hide, because Saul is trying to take his life. Let's drop down to verse 19. Same passage, same chapter. In verse 19 of 1 Samuel 23, the Bible reads, "Then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, 'Doth not David hide himself with us in the stronghold in the wood, in the hill of Halkiah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand.'" So David is running to the hill country, or he runs to the people of Ziph. Now, during those times when you ran to a city, or you ran to find refuge, to find safety, you would often depend on the people in that area, in that region, for protection. You were depending on them to help keep you safe. You know, if Saul comes by, keep in mind, you haven't seen me. You don't know me. And it's amazing how they knew David was on the run. They knew this, and they took him in anyway. So David is now putting his trust in the people of the hills. In other words, David is trusting in the hills to find safety. But as soon as Saul show up, I mean, they didn't waste any time. This would be the equivalent of anyone here who may have a sibling, older or preferably younger. So I was the younger sibling growing up, and trust me, every time I got to tell on my sister, I told on her. I couldn't wait. So this would be the equivalent of your sister or your brother, your older sister or brother doing something. Or let's say you're the older sibling, and you've done something you know you weren't supposed to do while the parents were away. And your younger brother or sister, they found out that you did this, and they was like, "Ooh, wait till mom and dad get home. I'm gonna tell." And so what you do, you try to bribe them a little bit. You know, you may give them your favorite toy to play with. You may allow them to play the video game with you, which you never let them play. So you pretend to put the cord in, but you don't actually put it in. You know what I'm saying? Or you may even give them a little money, and you give them the wink, and you tell them to shh. But as soon as mom and dad come home, and before they can even get in the house good, what does your younger sibling do? They run and tell them, "Guess what Tobias did today?" And so now you're angry and you're upset. This is the same thing that's happened to David. As soon as Saul is seen in this hill country of Ziph, they run up to him and say, "Hey, guess what? David's hiding with us over in the hills." So now you may get an idea of why David is asking this question: should I look to the hills from which cometh my help? Because I've been to the hills, I've depended on the hills, and when I look to the hills for safety, the hills couldn't hide me. The hills didn't even save me. In fact, the hills were the one who turned me over. So now I get an idea. Maybe he is actually asking a question. Now, as I'm journeying into this study, I'm not knocking the King James and I'm not advocating the new King James. But what I do want to do, I want to encourage you in your studying of God's word. Look to different translations. If you don't understand a verse, maybe read it in another translation. Maybe it can provide a simpler understanding or maybe even a deeper meaning. I remember Brother Leon said at a feeding seed one night, he said, we want to give them a deeper meaning, not a cheaper meaning. And one thing I've learned that as you grow, as your faith grows in God, your studying has to grow. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. It is impossible for your faith to grow and your study habits not to grow. Again, I'm not here knocking any versions or promoting any other, but I am here to encourage you in your studies. Look to different translations, but not even using another translation. We're going to stick with the King James because I kind of see some like, okay, maybe I can see. Maybe I can see David is asking the question. Now, if you're like me, I always believe that David is saying, I will look unto the hills because that's where God is. And according to Psalms, the second division, verse 3, it talks about God being in the hills or God making the holy hill of Zion his dwelling place. So I always assume God is dwelling in the hills. And David is saying that when times get tough, when times get hard, I'm going to look toward the hills. Not that I'm depending on the hills, but I know that that's where God is. And there was a preacher in Georgia by the name of Brother Bronner. And Brother Bronner always had a saying, keep looking up. He would always say that. Brother Bronner would go on to have a son and a grandson. Brother Bronner's grandson actually preaches the gospel now. And he said, if there's one thing I always remember my grandfather said, he says, keep looking up. And I love that saying. I love that saying, no matter how hard life may get, no matter what situation I may find myself in, I need to keep looking up. In fact, there are times when I will be knocked down flat on my back and the only way to look is up. And so I still believe in that. I still tell people to keep looking up. But now that I've done some research, now that I've done some studying, I can't use this verse to say that. I can't use this verse, honestly, seeing that this is a question. I cannot use this verse to say keep looking up because David is looking up. Because David is not necessarily looking toward the hills. He's pondering. You see, and oftentimes in biblical antiquities, the Hebrews had a way of poetry where they would ask a question and in the next verse or even two verses down, they would answer their own question. David is saying, should I look to the hills? Where is my help coming from? And when we get to verse 2 of the 121st division of Psalms, he answers his own question. He says, I'm not going to look to the hills because my help doesn't come from the hills. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, what do hills represent? The hills represent your attempt to make it over on your own. Anything that you put your faith or your trust in that's not God, that's not the word of God, that's not given to us by God, is you putting your faith and your trust in hills. I just find it awkward that the same man who was a man after God's own heart, the same man who killed a lion and a bear, the same man who slayed a giant is now running from Saul and depending on people to hide him. I find that just quite weird. And so there are times in our life when we have weak moments, when we don't know who to go to. We don't know who to run to. We don't even know what words to pray. And I'm thankful, according to Romans 8, that the Spirit knows what we have need of. We just need to take it to God. And so I'll give another example, because some may be saying, I still believe David is telling me I need to look to the hills. Now, I was taught that when you learn better, you ought to do better. And so me knowing the context of David's writing, me knowing who wrote it, why he wrote it, and what and the situation in which David is saying, I can't say that this verse teaches me that. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 26 through 28. So we see that, point one, David ran to the hills of Ziph for safety. David depended on the hills to help him, to keep him safe, to protect him, when ultimately he knew God is my safety. God is my refuge. God is my stronghold. And so we saw that the hills could not provide safety, at least not for David. Now watch this. In 1 Kings chapter 20, we're going to begin at verse 20. And what happens here is you have the king of Syria, and then you Ben-Hadad, and then you have the king of Israel, Ahab, at this time, and they're going to go to war. Now, Ben-Hadad is going to get upset because he went to fight the children of God, and he just knew, according to the numbers, according to the military status. This is point number two. Some people look to the hills for status. So according to our status, there's no way we should lose this battle. But you see, what the king of Syria failed to realize is that the children of God, their help wasn't in the hills. Their help was in the Lord. And so here in verse 20, the Bible reads, "And they slew everyone his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king said unto him, Their gods are what? Gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. Let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we will be stronger than they." So in other words, you have the king of Syria saying the only reason they beat us is because they were in the hills. It's because they do serve a God. We'll give them that. Okay, they beat us. We'll give them that. They did beat us. So maybe they do have a God, and maybe he is working. But I guarantee you, if they come down to the plains where their God can't reach, we'll beat them. You see, what the Syrians failed to realize is God is not just God of the hills. He's the God of the valleys as well. God is not just God when things are up, when we're on cloud nine, when we're on our mountaintops, even when we're in the midst of our valleys. God is still God, and he's the God. He's still in control. And so he says, meet us in the plains and watch what happens. Y'all want to see what happens? Let's continue to read. In verse 24, he says, "And do this thing. Take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms, and number thee an army like the army that thou had lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot. We will fight against them in the plain, and surely we will be stronger than they." And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. So in other words, you have these thousands of footmen, thousands of soldiers, horses, chariots. And then you get to the children of Israel, and the Syrians are not just calling them little flocks. It goes further and says they're little flocks of goats. And not only are they goats, they're baby goats. They're comparing the army of God to a flock of baby goats. And I just find it funny that you're insulting the very people that beat you last time. So if there are a little flock of baby goats, who did you lose to? And what does that say about you and your army? I guess you got to be careful who you insult and what you say about your enemy. And so we drop down to 28. "And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." In other words, the Syrians were looking to the hills for why the children of Israel were so blessed. Brother Hatchett, what does that have to do with me, and how does that apply to us today? Do you know that there are people in your life that believe that the only reason you're as blessed as you are is because of what you have, because of what you can do? See, they don't realize that you serve a God whose grace shines on the just as well as the unjust. You serve a God that's good to you even when you haven't been good to yourself. And so what this teaches me is I need to make sure people know the God who I serve. People need to know that it's not me. It's not what I've done, what I have accomplished. It's not the house that I live in. It's not the car that I drive. It's not the clothes that I wear. But I serve a God who's more than able. You see, hills represent things. If you're saying that, man, I'm so well off because I exercise every day, you're putting your faith and your trust in hills. If you're saying that the reason I get this good promotion and I got this good job is because I went to school and I did so well and I have all these degrees, you're putting your faith and trust in hills. David is saying, I'm not going to depend on hills. I'm not going to depend on my help. I'm not going to depend on my strength. I know where my help comes from. And even though I do have the ability to do great things, it's only by the grace of God. Paul would say this in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. He says, I feel like I was born out of due season. But then he drops down to verse 10, 1 Corinthians 15. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. You see, I'm not looking toward the hills. I'm not looking toward good health. I'm not looking toward my insurance. I'm not looking toward the White House. When I need help and I don't know what to do or who to turn to, I can always turn to my God. Because ultimately, that's where my help comes from. And now I'm seeing the text for what it is. I see it now as a question, and I see the answer to that question. So number one, is David asking a question, or is he making a statement? From the text, I imply that David is asking a question. Number two, should I look to the hills, or should I look to God? I'm not going to look to the hills. If I'm reading the text for what it is, if I'm studying for what it's worth, if I'm trying to get the message God is trying to teach me, I'm not going to depend on family. I'm not going to depend on friends. I'm not going to depend on my boss at my job. I'm not going to depend on my circle that I have at the school or that I have at the home or that I have at the job. I'm going to depend on the Lord. So that means come Sunday and say my boss doesn't want me to go to work. He wants me to work Sundays. And there may be times where I have to work, but guess he's going to know, let me get to worship first. I need to put my faith and trust in God. And even if you decide to let me go, God gave me this job. He'll supply me with another one. That's when you know you're putting your faith in God and not in hills. Sometimes, if I could make a life application today, sometimes we are pressed to show our Christianity. Sometimes people just want to see, are you really as faithful as you claim to be? Yeah, you ask for Sundays off, but I believe if I offer you enough money, I believe you'll come in anyway. Yeah, you say you love God, but I bet if I push your buttons well enough, you'll begin to act unchristlike. And so what people will do is they will try to see, are you really depending on God like you say you do? And this is what we call a test of our faith. Because when we know where our help comes from, I love this, we don't get so bent out of shape when things don't go our way. You see, when you start depending upon the hills, when you start depending upon people, and then you ask someone for help, and they can't help you the way you wanted them to help you, or the time frame in which you wanted them to help you, we get frustrated, we get mad, we get bent out of shape. I've been guilty of this. Because I prayed about it, and then I went to a person who I knew would have my back. I went to a person who I knew would come through for me, and they just couldn't. And I could see how David felt as he's writing the psalm. He went to the Ziphites. He went to the hill. He knew that they would hide him, and they sold him out. There have been times in my life where I've depended on people who I even knew. This person is a Christian just like I am. This person is a follower. I know that God's going to bless me through the aid of this person. And he's going to do it right at this time. And it didn't work out the way I thought it would. But then later, as I realize, as I go through life, every single time when I thought that I didn't know how things were going to get taken care of, God always made a way. Always made a way. I don't care if it was financial. I don't even care if it was health-wise. He always made a way. There were even times when I've had to pray for others and just had to leave it in the hands of God. Because like Job would say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of our Lord. I find it funny how the Syrians just knew that if we get you out of the hills, if we take your hills away, you're nothing. There are people today who are telling you the same thing. I guarantee you the only reason you even go to church on Sundays is because the nice area you live in, or the nice car that you drive, or the nice clothes that you wear. I bet if you lost your job, I bet if you had to move from that house, I bet if you ended up losing your spouse, I bet you stopped serving God. Said the same thing. The devil said the same thing about Job. He says, take away his children, take away his health, take away his wife, his possessions. He'll curse you to your face. The accuser. Do you know that according to Revelations, the devil is still the accuser of the brethren today? He's still accusing us of, if I can just touch his heels, he'll leave God. He'll forsake him. And see, what happens is when you know where your help comes from, no matter what heels the devil may try to take, no matter what heels you may lose, if you know that your help comes from God, you know that he will never leave you nor forsake you, Hebrews 13:5-6. If you have full faith and trust in God, it doesn't matter what's taken away, because my help wasn't coming from that in the first place. My help came from God, and I serve a God that, to me, when someone says, are you telling me, Brother Hatchett, that I can pray for something and God won't give it to me and I can still count myself blessed? Yes. So you're telling me I can pray for a job and come to church and give like I'm supposed to and sing like I'm supposed to and pray like I'm supposed to and still not get the job? Yes. But God will still take care of you even without the job. That's what it means to put my faith in the Lord and not in the hills. Should I look to the hills? What's the last thing people look to the hills for? Our third and final point, some people look to the hill for salvation. What do you mean by that, Brother Hatchett? Some people are looking to man. They're looking to something other than the word of God to be saved. Maybe they're looking for a special prayer they can say, and now they don't have to do anything but just quote this prayer and everything's all fine and dandy. Maybe they're looking to a person, and I'm not going to study the Bible for myself. I'll just go to this person, and if I have a question about the Word of God, and whatever they tell me, that's what I'll do. That's what I'll believe, and that's what I'll live. You're depending on a man for your salvation. You're depending on a creed, something other than the Word of God, some type of manual, some type of addition. That's looking to the hills for salvation. Watch this. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3 in verse 23. If I had to ask myself just based off the King James Version, if I had no other version and I'm reading this and I'm thinking David is telling me to look to the hills, I believe this verse would sum it up. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 23, the Bible says, truly in vain is salvation hoped for. Where? From the hills. In other words, while the hills can be helpful, I'm not going to sit here and preach this morning and say that the hills can never provide help. The hills are just useless. No, the hills are helpful. That job you have, that helps put food on the table. Okay, that car you drive, that helps you get places. That helps you get to where you need to go. It even helps you get to Bible study if you're using it for that purpose. I won't say that the hills are completely helpless, but the hills cannot offer salvation. Salvation cannot come from a man, it cannot come from a group of people, and it cannot come from anything outside of the Word of God. It says, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills. Now drop down with me, flip back with me in Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 11. I love how we've been doing our studies and we've been asking the question, why am I a member of the Church of Christ? Because it's the church that I read about in the divine pages of inspiration. And according to 2 Peter 1:3, God has given unto us all things that pertains unto life and godliness. In other words, how do I be saved? I can find it here. If it's not in here, that means I don't need it. And if I don't need it for salvation, why should I even worry about it? Why should I even contemplate it? Isaiah 43, verse 11. God says, I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. The hills cannot save. The hills cannot provide safety. The hills cannot provide status, or while they can provide status, the status is not your help. And the hills, ultimately, while they may even protect you a little bit, help you to feel safe, while they may even help you to feel like you're on top while you're up in life, it can provide some sense of security, not fully. It can provide some sense of status, some positioning, because strategically speaking, if the enemy is coming and I'm standing on a hill, this provides me the advantage, the battle advantage. I can see the enemy coming, and not only can I see the enemy coming, but if I'm shooting arrows at them and they're shooting arrows back, I can hide behind the hills for some type of protection. So the hills do provide this false sense of security, this false sense of positioning, but the hills cannot save. Mom and dad cannot save you. The preacher on your television cannot save you. Some prayer that you've heard about but never read about cannot save you. What is it that saves? So ultimately, I'm trying to discredit looking toward the hills. And I've spent this whole sermon showing that David asked the question and then answering that question. And now I'm going to say something that may sound contradictory. There is one hill we do need to look to. That's the hill of Calvary. Jesus would say in John 12:32, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Jesus was lifted up. He was lifted up on a cross on a hill called Golgotha's hill, where he died in our stead. And Jesus would go on to say, he that believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is John 3:16. This is the promise that Jesus made. But there are some things he told us to do in order to acquire that salvation. While I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, that means I have to trust his word. I have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Without even believing that, it's impossible for me to even please God. Hebrews 11:6. I have to hear God's word, his message, how that Jesus Christ is who God claims him to be, who God ordained him to be, who the Bible says him to be. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing. So in order for me to believe God, in order for me to even begin to please God, I first need to hear. You've heard the message this morning. Now, do you believe it? Or do you believe it enough? Not that you just believe it and I believe Jesus and I've accepted him in my heart as my Lord and Savior, and that's all I need to do. No. James 2 lets me know faith without works is dead. So faith will produce me to get up and do something. If I say that I believe him, I need to be a keeper of his word. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you believe that he has salvation and he offers it freely to all men, then you should be willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. You ought to be willing to confess him before men, Matthew 10:32-33. And you ought to be willing to go into the waters of baptism, a spiritual death for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, and be faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. Are you looking unto the hills, or are you looking unto God? If you are not a child of God, you cannot say that God is my help, God is my refuge, God is my strong tower, God is my shepherd. You cannot say that. If you have not obeyed the gospel, then God is, you cannot claim him to be your help. While he is sending you messages, while he's allowing you to live, while he's allowing you to hear this today, what are you going to do with that opportunity? Will you obey him today? Will you come forward and confess him before men and put him on in baptism? Galatians 3:26-27. If you are a child of God, but you have allowed the hills to cloud you from seeing God, to cloud your judgment, to cause you to worry. That's one thing I notice about hills. If you're standing low enough, the hill can actually block the sun. But see, if I know that the sun is still there, if I know, okay, maybe I'm in a valley right now, I can't see the sun, but I know the sun is still there. I know it's there. Because God has told me he'd never leave me nor forsake me. So I know he's there. And even though I can't see you right now, even though I don't know what's going to happen, I believe you to be who you say you are.
But if you've allowed the hills to sort of cloud your judgment, to cause you to doubt, to cause you to worry, to cause you to be stressed, and you can ask for prayers today. Say, God, you're my ultimate help, and I want to reestablish you, acknowledge you as that. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Acknowledge him today. Stand and ask for prayers. That opportunity is going to be given to you today, right here and right now, as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.